on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome in, all listeners. This is the main event you've all been waiting for. Introducing the undefeated, the undisputed best boxing show in the world. Hailing across Essex, East London, Essex, coming to you live from Phoenix 98 FM. Welcome to On the Ropes.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton, and you're listening to On the Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
Guys, it's here. It's 8 p.m. It's Sunday night, and welcome to Phoenix 98 FM, another edition of On The Ropes. Lots to talk about this week, and we'll be joined by Matchroom boxer Ellie Scotney and her agent Sonia Sophia Randeev. Charlie, how's it been? A great week last week, I must admit. Thomas Lyons did a fantastic job. I had a really good listen down there at on the Isle of Wight. I thought you guys did really, really well.
I am the model pro, you know. I can step in, I can slip, I can duck and dive. I'm your man. I can do it all at me Todd. So, yeah, didn't really miss you, if I'm honest, but I am glad to see you back in some capacity. You need to hurry up with these dolls and get this show on the road.
As I said, like Tom did a fantastic job, very knowledgeable. As you mentioned, he does have his own boxing blog. He is an author and a writer for that. Thoroughly enjoyed the show. This week, as I said, a hell of a lot to talk about. A mouth-watering bill and finale to Fight Camp in Brentwood this weekend. But before that, as always, some points of discussion. What I found particularly interesting this week, Charlie, was the comeback trail and speculation, not just on social media. Sergio Martinez has won his comeback fight. That was Friday night with his seventh round stoppage versus Jose Miguel Fondino. Now, this was the 45-year-old's first fight since Miguel Cotto and that defeat in 2014. Just fascinating. You know, to see some of these guys making comebacks. Oscar De La Hoya has insisted this week that he's going to be making a comeback aged 47 to take on today's champions. Now, these fighters are not at the level they were 15, 20 years ago, said De La Hoya. I will fight for glory. These guys only fight for money. And guess what? The glory will always win. Out there, Charlie, we got Tyson looking at their exhibition match against Junior Jones. You know, we've seen Nigel Benn toy with the idea of a comeback. I mean, what are your thoughts? Are these guys, you know, has boxing not... Is it about the money now? I mean, these guys are superior athletes now in modern-day boxing.
Well, yeah, and these guys that are looking at comebacks are well in their 50s, Mark. You know, obviously, Sergio Martinez is still in his 40s, but people like Oscar De La Hoya... I mean, you know, come on. He's, you know, he should just stick to promoting now and the money side of the game and, you know, bringing on boxers, not getting back in the ring. But I did hear... I don't know if it's... You know, fact or fiction, but Amir Khan was calling out De La Hoya. I mean, what is going on here? Tyson, I've touched upon it last week against Roy Jones Jr. Formidable boxers in their day, you know, real, real animals. Obviously, Tyson was just a real brute. Roy Jones Jr., a bit more technical. You know, again, at mid-50s, can they really force an impression on the sport? You know, it's an exhibition match. Is that it? Or, you know, if you come through that one, do you think you're good enough to get back in with, you know, some of today's pros? I think they should just let it be, you know. Let it be. They retired a long, long time ago. You know, they were, as I said, formidable boxers, you know, with great reputations. Just leave it there.
I mean... Oscar De La Hoya, you know, he last fought in 2008 and he lost to Manny Pacquiao. Now, it's 12 years out of the ring. He had 45 fights, six of those fights by losses. He's ranked number 13 in the list of all-time greatest boxers. So for him, at the age that he's at 47, to even be contemplating it, I mean, it might just be a media stunt, but, you know, the guy has done all he had to do in boxing. So why risk your health?
Absolutely, Mark. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You know, why? Why do it? Obviously, the carrot is the financial angle. But, I mean, surely they've got a few quid tucks away that they don't need to step back in the ring.
Yeah, absolutely. With Golden Boy Promotions, you would have thought that he would not need to be back in the boxing ring. But, as I said, that point he made on the current crop of boxers, he didn't feel that they were hungry enough or talented enough. I'm not so sure. I think boxing has moved on a long, long way from the Oscar De La Hoya days, you know, with strength and conditioning coaches, and it would be very, very dangerous for a man of his age and potentially health to get back in the boxing ring, in my view.
Absolutely, but you can only think that, you know, it's an addiction, isn't it, Mark, the sport, any form of sport, you know, and there's, you know... I can only put it down to an addiction. It's an itch that needs scratched, you know, and obviously if he feels that he wants to step back in, I think it's a wrong decision, but, you know, you've got to admire him as well on the same breath, but I think he should just remain as a spectator outside the ring.
Now, Charlie, I was interested to read this. Obviously, post the Canelo Alvarez versus Avni Yildirim announcement this week for the vacant super middleweight world title, a WBC world title, I should say, has been announced. Now, Billy Joe Saunders has been on social media this week making comments. He said, "I didn't see Canelo wanting the WBC when Benavidez was champion over a week ago." I mean, in Billy Joe Saunders' view, he thinks he's cherry-picking fighters, Canelo.
Yeah, well, Yildirim fought Chris Eubank, didn't he? He didn't really put up a great display that night. I don't think he's a natural super middleweight either. And, you know, Billy Joe's got a point, Mark. You know, he obviously didn't fancy the WBC when Benavidez had it. I touched upon it last week. You know, Benavidez, silly boy, lost his title now twice. First time around due to a Class A substance. Second time around, hasn't made the weight. Is it tactical? Was Canelo always going to, you know, step into the fray for it? Will Canelo beat Yildirim? Should do. Will then Canelo face Benavidez with a chance of Benavidez to take back his WBC title? Both Mexicans, huge draw for the Mexican public, huge draw for pay-per-view out in the US. You know, is it just tactical? I don't know.
So your view is that Canelo, if he gets past Yildirim, which he should, are you suggesting that Benavidez versus Canelo will happen in a huge Mexican bout?
It's just my theory, Mike. You know, it's opinionated sport boxing, and some decisions and things just, you know, don't seem right. It doesn't seem right that he came in 3 pounds over against a routine defence, really, against Aguello. I can't remember the guy's name. It was a random guy I never heard of. Obviously, I heard of Benavidez. He's a real force, you know. There's talk about Benavidez facing the likes of Caleb Plant in that division, you know, super middleweight. You've got, who's the other fella at super middleweight? I've just completely gone out of my head.
Callum Smith.
You've also got... anyway, the division is full on. That's what I'm saying. So it was a routine defence for Benavidez. Why didn't he get up for that? Why couldn't he make the weight? Do you know what I mean? Is there something going on the side? Someone's twisting his arm to throw it, and then, you know, saying that there's going to be a big money deal down the road. I don't know. But that is just my hunch. I personally think, you know, Canelo now takes another super middleweight title. He's already got, I think it's the WBO, isn't it? He's got one of them. So he wants to corner every division, really, and every belt by the looks of it. But then Benavidez will fight him in a huge pay-per-view deal. Both boxers will get massive purses, and the Mexican public buy into it.
Now, before we move on to fight camp, the finale here in Brentwood, Essex this weekend, I just do want to talk about a few other fights that took place this weekend. Now, Sean Porter was back in action in the US with a shutout win against Sebastian Formella. That came last night. And a big statement also from Joe Smith Jr. as he took the light heavyweight division by storm again. He knocked out Aldil Alvarez for the shot now at the WBO belt. I mean, Charles, I don't know if you saw this, but a great finish from Joe Smith Jr. Very underrated, this guy. Yeah, a great straight right followed by a stiff jab in round nine, which ended Alvarez. He couldn't make the count. I mean, the win is obviously another big one for Smith, who also beat Jesse Hart in January this year, if you do remember. I mean, and that was a bit of a shock in itself also. So both wins have been minor upsets. This bout now sets him up to face the winner of an eventual fight between Umar Salamov and Maxim Vlasov for the vacant WBO belt. So he gets a shot at that now.
Yeah, well, it was Mark. He's a former blue-collar worker. I didn't see the fight, but I have seen him in action in the past. Alvarez, you may remember, he took the title in the past of Kovalev, and then Kovalev obviously had a rematch, won it back. Alvarez, I think he's like mid-30s now, isn't he?
36, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, but again, it's a good name on your record, isn't it, for Smith Jr.? He is a bit of a brute. He can scrap. And that division is wide open. You've got the likes of Anthony Yard, you know, due to come back soon as well for a warm-up fight. You know, is he going to remain domestic or is he going to come back up to the world levels? You know, so it's an interesting division, the light heavyweight. But he is a very, very, very good boxer. So, yeah, well done him.
Also, in the UK last night, in the same weight division, light heavyweight division, live on Channel 5, Shaquin Peters beat Chad Sugden for the British light heavyweight title. Now, he won it on points pretty convincingly, 118-111 and 118-111, and on the third judge's scorecard, 119-110. Long, rangy, awkward fighter, Charlie. He's only been boxing now for about 8 years. He took up boxing for 22. His father was a former professional boxer. You know, that division you just touched on briefly with the likes of Anthony Yard. We've got Joshua Buatsi, Craig Richards. You know, Peters is now unbeaten in 14. What do you think? Is he ready to make the next step? Is he in the same league as these guys? You know, he's had a relatively short professional career so far.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. He's 6'6", uncanny for a light heavyweight. You know, I watched him last night. I don't know, Chad Sugden, who fought Craig Richards, you know, last time out of York Hall. They had a draw, controversial draw. Can he compete with even the likes of Craig Richards? I don't think he can, Mark. I really don't think he can. You know, Sugden found it very difficult to try and get inside the gangly range. He just couldn't do it. You know, he's a former kickboxer. You would have thought, you know, before the fight, the rhetoric was that, you know, I've got inside, you know, tall kickboxers before. I'm going to find it easy to get inside. He just couldn't get inside. He couldn't deal with the range. You know, Peters, he looked a little bit, you know, tricky. Yes, you know, technically he looked good in patches, but I think the likes of Boatsy, the likes of Craig Richards, the likes of Anthony Yard, you know, and even Lyndon Arthur, the Commonwealth champion, I think they'll figure him out pretty quickly. And at 14-0 now, fights, that's his record, he's not quite there yet. He's not quite there. He needs a couple of defences at the British level before he even thinks about moving on to someone like Craig Richards. It was, Craig Richards really should have been in for that British title, but I think due to injury and he was unwell, so, you know, Chad Sugden got the nod. But I think, Peters would find it very difficult against a seasoned pro like Craig Richards.
Yeah, but a big achievement for, like I said, for Peters. He's only been boxing for a short period of time. He had no amateur pedigree. He was a highly rated footballer. I think he got let go by West Brom.
That's
when he
right.
was 22. Turned to boxing. He's only been boxing 8 years, you know, as a professional with no amateur pedigree. So 14 bouts and he's a British champion. So congratulations to Shaquin Peters.
Yeah, fantastic. It's a great, you know, he's got that belt around his waist now. And it's a beautiful belt, isn't it? The British title. But I'm just saying, you know, sometimes these boxers, you know, run before they can walk. And he will take a lot of confidence from that win last night, but, you know, just slow down a little bit, slow down, because that's a, you know, it's a meaty division that with some real big punches. And that's what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong, not taking anything away from the guy. He'd done very well, but slow and steady wins the race.
Also last night, back in action, 2 years out of the ring for this guy, Isaac Chamberlain returned with his first win. He stopped Anthony Woolery with a body shot in the third round. Charlie, good to see Chamberlain back. And, you know, there's still some big domestic bouts out there for him.
Absolutely, Mark. Woolery come out like, his nickname was the Bull. He come out like a bull, a raging bull. He was, you know, he came to fight. You know, you may remember him from the Ultimate Boxer. And he caused him a little bit of problems early on, Isaac Chamberlain. He'd been very inactive. You know, controversially, he lost to Akoli. It wasn't his night, you know. Although he's more experienced than Akoli, certainly in a pro game, that night he didn't turn up. He admitted himself against Watkins. He fought very well, you know. But it was good to see him back, Mark. Like you said, he's been very inactive. You know, he's had his ups and downs. He's signed now with Hennessy Sports. And I think he's going to be out in the next 2 weeks. So clearly, Hennessy Sports are really ramping it up. And again, he can. You know, I think he's only 26. Cruiserweight. You know, that division's wide open as well. So, you know, watch this space with Chamberlain.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, good to see the guy back. He's still got time on his side, and hopefully he can get back in the mix very, very soon. Now, guys, before we join or we get our special guest on the line, we'd like to leave you a bit of a song, really. This is for not just for Ellie Scottney, who's currently signed with Matchroom, but basically for women's boxing, because I think over the last few weeks, We will all agree there's been some amazing bouts at Fight Camp in Brentwood. So we're going to leave you with this little song, and then after that we'll be joined on the line by Ellie Scottney and her agent, Sonia Sophia Rendev. So we're going to leave you with this one by Rachel Platten. It's called Fight Song. Enjoy this one, and we'll catch you very, very soon. Guys, hope you enjoyed that song there. You know, really an inspiration of our special guest that we've got on the show tonight. We're joined by Ellie Scottney, currently signed to Matchroom Sport. Ellie, welcome to the show, and how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. It's a pleasure. Ellie, just for our listeners, really, first question for me, you've recently been signed by Matchroom Sport.
Yeah.
How did boxing come into your life, and what was it like, you know, eventually turning over and getting signed by Matchroom?
Do you know what? It's been the longest debut, I think, ever. I've been waiting for ages. But I got into boxing because I've got five brothers, so I've had to look after myself. And, yeah, my brother boxed, and I just thought whatever he wanted to do, I'd copy it, to be honest. So it just kind of happened naturally.
Hello, Ellie. It's Mark's co-presenter, Charlie, his sidekick. How are you?
Sidekick.
Yeah, sidekick, yeah.
I'm good, thank you. I'm all good.
Good stuff. So you said there that you're, you know, it was your brother that got you into it. I mean,
yeah.
In terms of what gym was it that you know, did you follow him into the same gym, or you know, what just tell us about your first day in the gym and what that experience was, you know, in a very much male-dominated sport.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't cool to take your sister to the gym, so I didn't get to go to the same gym as him. I went to the Lynn Boxing Club, one of the oldest gyms in Britain, I think it is. And, my uncle took me, and as soon as I walked in, even the smell, I love it. And that sounds a bit crude because it's not the best of the places, but it just took me as soon as I walked in, to be honest.
And Ellie, your amateur career seemed to take off really, really quickly from what I gather. I mean, you find yourself just after a few bouts in the GB setup. I mean, what did that feel like back at the time?
Yeah, just obviously at the time I didn't really take any of it in, but I went in the championships with like 3 fights and then I won them straight off sort of thing. And it was all, it all happened very quickly. And I was in the Europeans and up GB. Yeah, it was all kind of like in and out job sort of thing. It was very quick.
And in terms of, you know, your style, can you give our listeners, you know, you're a featherweight, do you try and replicate any boxers in the sport, or, you know, is it very much your own unique style? Can you just give us a little bit of background on that?
Yeah, of course. If you saw my face, you'd understand I come forward a lot. I get caught a bit too much, but no, I like to get involved a bit. And yeah, my favourite fight is Roberto Duran, but I ain't quite mastered the hands of steel yet, but I'm working on it.
And Ellie, in terms of what you've seen, obviously you touched on there briefly, you were due to make your professional debut back in March this year, but due to obviously the COVID-19 pandemic, that didn't happen. Any ideas on when you will be making that debut? And when it will be, any opponents, or are you in contact with Eddie Hearn currently just to try and get yourself on a show?
Yeah, so I spoke with Adam and I'll be out finally in October. So the long-awaited debut, hopefully, October time and I'll be in the ring.
Good stuff. Well, we'll look forward to that. And you mentioned Adam there. We presume you mean Adam Booth?
Yeah, the Dark Lord.
And I mean, what's that like? You know, he's got some great boxers under his stable. Yeah. You know, what's it like mixing it up daily, not only with Adam, who's been in the sport a long time now, you know, mixing it with some of those elite boxers? What's that like?
Do you know what? Every day I walk in the gym, I'd like to think of myself as a sponge. So I just try to soak in as much as I can, even, you know, being alongside the people like Nick Conlon. I've never known someone to work like he does. It's just, it's crazy. It's just a day of learning every day in there.
And Ellie, obviously, we've been lucky enough to have boxing back on our screens over the month of August with Matchroom Fight Camp. For female boxing, we've had two spectacular bouts. I mean, you know, Harper versus Jonas, and obviously last night we had Katie Taylor versus Pearson. I mean, for women's boxing and for any aspiring boxer, I mean, it has just been amazing to watch those bouts.
I think, you know what, lockdown, I think boxing as a whole, it's kind of been a bit of a, you know, are we going or aren't we? But as women's boxing, I think it's been the making of it. I think lockdown has been one of the best things that could happen for women's boxing. We've seen two quality fights, which, when you think of fight camp, they're the fights you think about. It's crazy. I think it's just boxing for women's just started beginning now properly.
Yeah, but I think even, you know, we're forgetting Courtney's fight as well, right, against Rachel Ball.
Yeah, Rachel Ball, yeah. Definitely, they took a big fight and, like, they ain't that far into their career. It's been crazy for women's boxing at the minute.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. For someone like you coming into the paid ranks, you know, you look at Courtney, you look at Ball, and you think, you know what? They've been elevated now. The sport has been elevated in terms of women's boxing. You know, it's a great opportunity for you. It's a great time to, you know, make your debut now.
Definitely. I don't think I could have timed any of it better. You know, I just feel like it's going to happen at the right time and at the right place. And I just, can't wait to get started.
And what can we expect to see from, from Ellie Scotney? Just for anyone that hasn't seen much about you, what are you going to bring to the table in terms of boxing?
No pressure. I just want to hopefully show a different side of women's boxing. I like to get involved, like to throw a few body shots and stuff. So, just show a different side of it.
And is there anyone out there you're targeting? I think you've gone on record saying you want a world title. You know, that's the aim. That has to be the aim, right? But
yeah, definitely.
You know, you're looking at featherweight. You want to go like Katie Taylor through the weights and take all those belts?
I want to start at super bantam. I'm going to go, like, lower. And then, I've got to have my debut before I can call anyone out. So, no, I just want to get the journey started.
Is that not Courtney's weight, super bantam?
Yeah, I think Courtney and Rachel Ball, they're super bantam.
Here we go. That would be a good scrap.
explosive.
And not many people know this either, but obviously during lockdown you've been super busy, I think, not just with your training, but you've actually been trying to hold down your job as well, right?
yeah, I've been milking that. I've been stacking shelves.
The stacking shelves at B&Q. So I mean, that in itself takes a hell of a lot of dedication to the sport as well. You know, not many people probably know this, but you know, you're trying to hold down two professions at the same time. So you know that takes a lot of you've got to admire that.
Yeah, do you know what? I just a normal thing for me. I've got to pay my way, and you know, I just got to get into B&Q and just do my job.
And I mean, if you think about you take yourself back to that time you stepped in that gym. The last few weeks, obviously, like we said, it's elevated the sport. If there's any young females out there, you know, thinking, you know what, I might give it a whirl. I mean, what would you say to them to encourage them to make that first step?
Do you know, it's one of the best things I've done myself. And it's, do you know, a boxing gym is a place where you don't get judged, you don't get looked upon, and you all get treated the same. So until you walk through, it's honestly, it changes your way of life, your output, everything. It's a no-brainer.
No, great words. And I mean, obviously, from last night's fight camp, what was your view, firstly, on you know, Dillian White versus Povetkin? I mean,
do you know what? I was gutted for him. You know, he's been in that position for 1,000 days, waiting for his shot. He took, you know, big fights with the world, really, when you think about it. Heavyweight boxing for you, one shot, that's all it takes. And I think he'll come again, but you've got a feel for the guy. You've got a feel for him.
Yeah, I think he was so close, you know, in 1,000-day wait. I don't know if it certainly wasn't nerves. He didn't look nervous.
No,
but I think,
do you know what? I think he was too calm, in a sense, you know. Like, he didn't have that, he had him hurt many times, and the maximum violence he carried, I just didn't see that in him. But, you know, it's different when you're in there. There's no crowd, and it's just one of those things.
No, and like I said, women's boxing certainly been put on the map over the last couple of weeks at Fight Camp. We look forward to seeing you make that pro debut and hopefully kick on and go and win those titles. We will be speaking to someone that you work closely with as well later on in the show. We'll be catching up with Sonia Sophia Rendev, which we're really looking forward to get her view also, not just on women's boxing, but women's sport in general, and her thoughts from last night. So Ellie,
thank you firstly.
No, it's been our pleasure, and we do wish you the very, very best of luck in October. And thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. So yeah, Charlie, you know, really, really exciting days and times for Ellie Scottney. She should be on that Matchroom bill very, very soon. And yeah, really looking forward to seeing her action.
Yeah, she seems like, you know, it's just getting a little bit of flavour there in terms of, you know, her technique, you know, and it looks like she's a brawler. Looks like she likes to come forward. And certainly, you know, I thought she was featherweight, but, you know, dropping down to super bantam, obviously you've got the likes of Rachel Ball, like we touched upon. You've got Shannon Courtney. Great time and a great division to be entering. So I wish Ellie all the best of luck, guys. You know, get behind her. She's a London girl, you know, and fantastic. Women's sport in general is kicking on. Women's boxing is certainly at the forefront now because of Fight Camp. Long may it continue.
We're going to leave you with this one now, guys, before we catch up with our second guest of the evening. We're going to leave you with Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline. And really, Charles, this epitomises Fight Camp over August for me. I mean, last night, spectacular fireworks ahead of the Dillian White versus, you know, Povetkin fight. I could hear those fireworks from my back garden, funny enough, right here in Brentwood. And it's been fantastic to have boxing back on the screens. It really, really has. So, guys, enjoy this one, and we'll catch you very, very soon.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? And touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Touching warm, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Guys, welcome back to the show. As I touched on briefly, we are joined by another special guest this evening. We're joined by Ellie Scotney's agent and also sport agent, Sonia Sevilla-Randeve. We're going to catch up with Sonia, and Sonia's going to give us a little bit of an insight into you know what she does and what she's doing for female sport in general. So, Sonia, welcome to the show tonight.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. How are you both? You all right?
Both very, very well, yeah. We've had a bit of rain here tonight in Brentwood, but apart from that, we're doing very, very good. So, Sonia, first...
I know you're just bopping along to the song, so, you know, Sweet Caroline, it's obviously a firm favourite with boxing fans, but it's actually just one of my favourite songs, to be fair, so thank you very much for that.
No worries at all. It's, it's certainly, as I said, it's really epitomised boxing in general, I think. Certainly in August, we've all missed our boxing. It's great to have it back on our screens. And I think it's a fantastic song. And that was not just for you, Sonia, but for all those boxing fans out there listening.
Stop lying. I know you guys just put it on especially for me.
Yeah,
kind of like this telepathic thing where I was saying to you guys, if the next song is not Sweet Caroline, then it's all over.
exactly. But a very enjoyable song. So, Sonia, firstly, you know, welcome to the show. And secondly, you're obviously not only managing Ellie Scotney now, but you're involved in many, many sports and trying to represent all things sport, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with me, I've been a massive sports fan since I was a very young girl. So, I mean, I was quite active. I played a lot of sports. I was actually very good at them. I was really good at running as well. So with me, I kind of thought that in terms of my career going forward, I mean, obviously being 15, 16, not many of us know what we want to do in our lives, but I kind of always thought that whatever I do, it would have to be sports related in some sense or the other. So, yeah, I mean, it's not just boxing. Obviously, I'm working, as you guys are fully aware of that. I do work with London Nines basketball team, who are an absolute dream to work with, and I'm ever so grateful for the opportunity. We've got some great stuff coming up with them. But in terms of boxing, it's not just Ellie. I mean, I wouldn't say I represent Ellie, but I mean, I've supported her and kind of, just going back to like lockdown and even just before that, to be fair, for the past couple of years, it's been a big thing on my mind where I've really wanted to work with women in boxing. But problem being is that there just wasn't enough fights being made. Obviously, Katie Taylor was up, you know, at the top of her game, and you know, a lot of fights were being made for her, and it was the whole kind of thing around her unifying her division, and it was a big thing at the time. So, I mean, throughout lockdown with me, it was very much, I'm going to take this opportunity to really support those girls and really try my best to get them out there. And you know what? Together, collectively, it's a team effort. And we've done really well, and long may it continue.
Hello, Sonia. It's Charlie. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Charlie.
I just wanted to ask, you know, you touched upon the, obviously, running was your, you know, your main sport as a teenager, so that drew you into the sport. But what made you switch to, you know, sports management, sports consulting? In a, again, you know, similar to what we asked Ellie there, in a male-dominated sport, you know, sports management, sports agency, it's been very, you know, male-driven in the past. So with you, it's very refreshing that you're in that space. But what drew you into it?
I think it was more like, again, going back to, obviously, you know, being quite active at school, playing sports. I mean, I was the fastest girl in my year, you know, and I always knew that I had talent for sports, very good at netball, was actually a very good right defender in football, especially, I'm talking about from junior school days. So, and at that time in my era, it wasn't really, we weren't really pushed by our families to really get involved in sport. But I didn't really feel, to be fair, I didn't really pay attention to any of the, you know, the stigma of women being involved in sports as an athlete. I wasn't even actually thinking about ever, you know, becoming a consultant or an agent at that time. But I actually started my career off as a sports journalist. So that was initially my kind of gateway into that particular industry. And then I, you know, I kind of got a bit of a buzz out of just working with particular athletes or, you know, particular individuals and, you know, helping to raise their profile, scouting commercial deals for them. And I think a lot of that, those skills came from like my full-time positions, like which I had at TalkSport and Trinity Mirror, because they were very commercially driven roles that I had. So I thought, let me just give it a try. And being, and I, obviously, guys, I don't want to bring in, you know, race or gender. We, you know, we hear so much about it and people seem to think that, you know, it's being used as an excuse. But with me, it really isn't about that. I feel really proud being a British Asian woman working within the sports industry and representing and supporting all of these people. And I hope that there are other women out there, not just Asian, but just women in general, that look at me and think, you know, it's been, I've been in the industry for 15 years in and out. I've been very quiet about a lot of things I've done as well. So it's, I feel like only now recently maybe people beginning to see, well, hold on a minute, this girl's been around a long time, but now we're actually seeing what she's actually capable of doing. And I want to inspire other women to think, well, if she can do it, so can I.
And Sonia, it's not just, obviously, you're not just working with Ellie Scottney. Are there any other, you know, professional sportswomen out there that, that you currently work with or you look to endorse or push? You know, boxers, I don't know, you've mentioned netball. Just for our listeners, really, so they get an idea of, you know, other sports stars that you're currently trying to work with or working with.
I've done quite a fair bit in football as well. So what I like to do is always like to make sure that I've got a really good relationship with that particular athlete's football agent, for example, just using that as an example, or their management team. And then I will come on board and see if I can try and do as much as I can in terms of the media and communications for them. So I've done a little bit of work with Nadia Nadim. She plays for PSG, who actually, they won last night. So they are through to the final of their Champions League. And then PSG are obviously the men's team are playing in the final against Bayern today. So tonight, sorry, right now at this exact time. So that was quite interesting because I'm obviously a big football fan as well. I'm a Man United fan for my sins. But yeah, it is what it is, really. And obviously, as I mentioned, I've got London Lions. I look after all of the media and communications for London Lions basketball team. So, you know, it's not me sitting here waiting for someone to call me up and say, oh, can we do an interview with a particular player or a particular athlete? I feel like it's imperative for me to go out to these particular media platforms and pitch stories to them, say, you should be interviewing these people. Just touching on boxing, like we've just said, it's not just Ellie I've done work with. I've done work with Chantelle Cameron. She's got a great team behind her. Her sports management team, who's Chris from F5 Sports Management, got a fantastic relationship with him. Savannah Marshall, she's got a world title fight coming up. I've been in conversations with her to, you know, just to support her and, you know, get herself out there. This is a world title fight for her. It's her first world title fight. So she should be, you know, she should be making some noise and people should be getting behind her and supporting her. So, yeah, very much what I've been doing at the moment is very football. Football's been a part of my life always. I've always kind of dabbled in and out of that. But for me, it was just very important in particular to get involved with as many female boxers as I possibly can. and, you know, obviously help to try and get their profiles more out there, because they're talented fighters and they deserve this platform.
And just for some of our listeners, you mentioned PSG. The latest score is 0-0. That's currently live, the Champions League final. So
it
you
is
also,
indeed.
You also mentioned Man United. If I'd have known you were a Man United fan before the call, I don't think I would have got you on. We're West Ham, so you know we're not the glory
that.
Hunters. We don't follow. You know, we're not the Southern Man United fans that
How
you know follow the glory.
I've supported them for 32 years.
Oh, that old chestnut.
In the way that I'm a little bit old, but yeah, old but gold. Hey.
Brilliant, brilliant. And in terms of women's boxing, you know, obviously lately we touched upon it there earlier as well. The sport is really elevated during fight camp, which is fantastic to see. You know, how do you think the sport is going to, you know, grow in the next 2 years? You know, it's a wonderful platform now for female boxing.
It's just been absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, I've got to say, well done to Matchroom. Well done to Eddie Hearn. Well done to Sky Sports. Because this fight camp idea is absolute, it's genius, isn't it? It's just paid off so well. And I think what I really like is that the fact that it's actually given boxers that, not just, you know, your kind of average boxing fan, I don't mean to say average boxing fan, but mainly when you look, you've got kind of different aspects to boxing fans and boxing supporters, and they'll know who all the big stars are, like your Anthony Joshua's, your Tyson Fury's, etc., or your Katie Taylor's. But it's actually given a platform to get some of these other boxers that aren't that well known to the public, because, you know, they don't do as many media interviews. They're not really, you know, concerned on raising their profile. I think they've just been more focused on trying to, you know, work on their fighting skills, get in the gym, you know, training throughout lockdown, waiting for that call to get a fight because they need the money as well. So I think what this has done over the past 4 weeks has been absolutely phenomenal for all those boxers that people didn't really necessarily know much about. We've had three female fights, haven't we? Tasha Jonas and Terry Harper, absolutely phenomenal. I did feel like Tasha had edged that, but, you know, Terry's 23 years old. She probably learned a hell of a lot from that fight, and it you know, she's got a fantastic future ahead of her, and Tasha's still got so much fight left in her.
No, and I do agree with you, Sonia, 100% in terms of what you said. Not only have now not just female boxers, but certainly male boxers that weren't necessarily known by the boxing public, they will be now after fight camp. And for women's boxing, I think the fight that we witnessed, not just Harper Jonas, but obviously Taylor and Pearson, the last night's fight was absolutely outstanding. I mean,
it was just as good as the first one, wasn't it?
It was.
I was just like, she wants a brawl, she's trying to get Katie into a brawl, and obviously at times it did work, because sometimes it's hard to avoid that when someone is continuously, you know, she was relentless, it's like a machine. I was just like, where do you get your energy from? I can barely walk up the stairs, for God's sake, considering I used to be so fast at running, but that was like about over 15 years ago. But it was just a phenomenal fight. It was a great, great thing for female boxing last night. And, you know, congratulations to Katie. Not too sure what I thought about that particular scorecard, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, instead of complaining about it, we should be happy that she got the win. And, yeah, no, it was just absolutely fantastic. Like, honestly, those three female fights have just been brilliant for women's boxing. And it has really, really raised the game. Honestly, it really has.
Yeah, and I think also that, you know, controversial last night, I agree. You know, Taylor, she fought very well on the back foot. Pearson just kept coming forward. She just kept, you know, and it's a real skill to move forward and keep punching. You know, I was really impressed with her. You know, but it's opened up.
I just don't know where she got her energy from, because to be perfectly honest with you, I thought Katie actually fought very clever this time. I mean, she's obviously picked up things from the first fight and got more involved in a brawl, I feel, very much in the first fight. But in this particular one, she boxed a hell of a lot more clever. She showed off her technique. But there were times when, unfortunately, she was being drawn into the fight and she had to retaliate by fighting back. But yeah, I would have been quite happy with a draw. That's no disrespect. I'm not taking any discredit from Katie at all. But I just felt like, yeah, it was just something about the scorecard. You could see social media and just by so many people in social media kind of reacting in the same way, I thought, yeah, I'm kind of thinking the same way as you guys. So clearly everybody's watched, you know, the same fight as what I've watched.
Yeah, I mean, after round eight, I had it as a draw, but you could have argued the last two rounds for either boxer, really. I had Taylor
taking the last two rounds personally. But like I said, there was such a, you know, a flurry of punches in those last, not just the last two rounds, but in many of the rounds, that it was such a close fight that you could have called it either way. You could have said Taylor's the more, you know, naturally gifted boxer. She's boxing well on the inside. She's moving after you know, her combinations. And you could argue that Persoon was coming so forward as the aggressor that she was dominating the fight. So it could have gone either way. But I do agree with what you've just said there. You know, you could have said it was a draw, but it certainly was not a unanimous decision. So I think the judges got that just slightly wrong.
No, definitely. And it definitely, I mean, there were some people that were calling it a robbery. It wasn't a robbery. It was a very, very close fight. But Persoon was just, you know, like I said, what a phenomenal fighter. She was so gracious as well afterwards. I mean, considering the first fight, she was a completely different person. She was absolutely, I mean, I think she went a little bit mad, didn't she? She walked out of the ring and didn't even bother. She was so angry. But with this particular fight, obviously, she, you know, she dealt with it really well and she represented herself really well. So maybe, I mean, I don't know, she'll have to watch the fight back. But I personally thought that she could have just nabbed that, to be fair.
Yeah, I was quite surprised with her after the interview afterwards. She was quite gracious. You know, she said that, you know, Katie won it this time around, you know, and she had no complaints. And, you know, that wasn't the fight that I saw. It was very, very close.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you're in that fight, maybe she was thinking that, okay, her work rate was, you know, her work rate was exceptional. Like we all saw, she kept coming forward. She was, you know, she was bringing Katie into a brawl. But maybe she was thinking, and this is what a couple of comments I actually did see on social media, but I tried to switch off because I liked what I see is what I see and I'll judge it by what I see. But maybe she was thinking that a lot of her punches didn't land. I mean, only she will know because she was in that fight. But I personally felt like a lot of her punches did land.
No, absolutely. And Sonia, just before we wrap it up now, I just want to ask you, what's next for you know, for the agency, for you, Slick Sports Consultancy? What can we expect from you and the group?
I think going forward is to very much focus on the female side of boxing. And I know that people have been saying, let's not call it women's boxing or females in boxing or whatever. But for me, until I start seeing a bit more of a significant change, then I will change my way of thinking and my way of saying. And as a woman, I don't feel like it's a bad thing for me to say that. But I definitely want to continue to push more females out there, and not just in boxing as well. I also freelance for 414 magazine, so I get to interview quite a few amazing footballers. And, you know, most of them have been females, and I've had chats with many of them about, you know, looking to do stuff and continue to help push them out there, and not just on a media kind of communication side, but very much on the commercial sponsorship and, say, all the social media paid partnership side of it as well. Lots going on, lots to do, and I'm really excited for the future.
Fantastic, Sonia. Well, look, we wish you well. We appreciate your time this evening, you know, for joining us on Phoenix 98 FM. And, you know, once again, thank you for joining us and take care.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Take care, yeah?
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye, bye.
So, Charlie, you know, very exciting times for not just for female sport or women's boxing, but, you know, female sport in general. And I think Sonia there really has given us an insight into what's actually happening, you know, behind the scenes. There's a real big push now, certainly in boxing.
Absolutely, Martin. You can just sense, you know, how passionate she is about that. You know, obviously bringing on, you know, the women in sport. And like she said, you know, she has no problem calling it women in sport or female in sport, because until it's a level playing field, that's exactly what it is. But it's just fantastic now that certainly in the sport that we love, boxing, that women are beginning to become recognised, you know, and they're putting on some phenomenal fights. You know, initially at the beginning, people were laughing at the level of the sport. You know, there weren't really competitive bouts. But, you know, this last month, you cannot argue that, you know, it hasn't been competitive, it hasn't been thrilling, it hasn't been enjoyable. You know, and, you know, that fight last night on pay-per-view, Katie Taylor and Persoon, you know, what an unbelievable fight. And obviously, Terry Harper, Jonas in the past, and, you know, novices like Courtney, we mentioned, and Ball, you know, phenomenal. They're wearing their hearts on the sleeve and they're really giving it a good go, and it's fantastic to see.
And we're going to see Ellie Scotney in action very, very soon, hopefully in October. So Ellie, you know, former GB boxer, you know, fantastic, you know, young woman. I'm really looking forward to seeing Ellie in action, and it was tremendous to have her on the show tonight. Right, Charlie, favourite time of the week?
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
You've caught me on the whim there. I haven't got it. My motivational quote of the week. I haven't got it. It's on my other phone.
It was his favourite time of the week, but he's missed it. But anyway, Charlie, I want to go back to last night's action right here in Brentwood, Essex. The finale to Fight Camp. You know, some very close fights. The one fight that I do want to talk to you about, which was very early in the evening, Jack Cullen versus Zach Chelly. I mean, decision first. I mean, the fight, let's talk a little bit about the fight. Or have you found that quote? You got that quote?
I've got my quote. Do that jingle again.
Right, let's go again. Hang on.
Quote of the week. Don't give up on anything your heart must have. The greater the struggle, the greater the rewards. There you go, people. I knew it was in there. Enjoy that one.
So going back to Fight Camp, Charlie, first bout of the evening, Cullen versus Chelly. Chelly, for me, pretty much bossed the fight. I mean, Cullen is not a super middleweight. And clearly, Chelly is a super middleweight and not a light heavyweight.
I'm going to do another one, Mark. Chris Kamara, I didn't see it, Jeff. I did not see that fight. So come on, you tell me what happened.
It was given a draw. It was never a draw. I mean, I don't know where the judges got that one from. One of the scorecards was ridiculously wide in Cullen's favour. You're talking four round wide. I saw Cullen winning two rounds the whole fight. Totally the wrong decision. I felt so, so sorry for Zach Chelly because he came off that defeat against Cody Davis. He dropped down in weight and he absolutely bossed that fight. Now, that would have been the end probably for Cullen. You know, he stepped up in weight. He's come off a previous defeat against Felix Cash. And that would have been the end for him. He was a lucky, lucky, lucky boy to get that draw decision. The one surprise from Fight Camp, please tell me you saw this fight.
Well, go on.
Chris Congo,
yeah.
Versus Lufa Clay.
Yeah, I did see it, yeah.
Very, very, very good fight. And Congo, for me, you know, unknown. Jim McDonald's done a fantastic job. Do you know what he was ranked British going into that fight last night? What his ranking was?
No.
Number 37 in Britain, Chris Congo.
I know that he was inactive. He was inactive
for 16 months. Undefeated fighter that boxed. He boxed in many ABA finals. Good amateur pedigree. Completely dominated that fight. He had Clay in knots from about round six onwards when everyone expected Congo to start to fade a bit because he'd never been past six rounds. Finished him in the ninth. Great finish. And he looked like he could have gone on, certainly for another 12 rounds, let alone to get to 12 rounds.
Yeah, he looked strong, Mark. And, you know, you could visibly see the height difference as well. Lufa Clay, you know, a rugged little performer. I don't think welterweight's his division. I think Eddie Hearn was saying maybe he should drop down, Mark, to 140 pounds, you know, which is probably a wise decision. But, you know, Congo, Josh Kelly pipped him to the post for the Team GB Rio Olympics. So, you know, and how the sport is unbalanced at times, you know, he's been inactive for 16 months. You don't know what's happening in the background. Why has he been inactive? Has he been kept out or what? I don't know. Or did he have personal problems? And then you've got someone like, you know, Josh Kelly, who, you know, arguably, he's a very good boxer, don't get me wrong. But on last night's performance, you would say Congo, to me, he looks a better boxer than someone like Josh Kelly. In the welterweight division, you've got people like Conor Benn. You've got Chris Jenkins, the British champion. Again, I think domestically, that division now, with Congo stepping up last night, relatively unknown, great division to watch.
Yeah, so Congo obviously took that WBO ranking from Lufa Clay.
Yeah, he took a global belt,
So now in the top 14, and he jumps to number 9 in Britain. Thoroughly deserved it. Great talent, you know, unnoticed. Fantastic to see someone like him coming through with a real good amateur pedigree as well. Obviously, onto the big boys, Charlie. Just briefly, I want to touch on Alan Savage Babich before we start talking about Dillian White. I mean, he looks an absolute brawler in character. He's gone 4-0 with that second round stoppage versus veteran Swandell Winters. I mean, not much of an amateur pedigree at all from him. And just his fourth bout, he's got a lot to learn.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot to learn, Mark. You can see that he's aggressive. He's exciting to watch, but he's very small for a heavyweight. He is very small. For me, he was calling out Herkovic afterwards, his fellow Croatian. I mean, come on, mate. you're having a laugh, aren't you, calling out someone like that? Get the guy's a beast after four fights. He needs to pipe down a little bit, learn his craft. He's not a big heavyweight. He's more of a cruiserweight. If he gets in with someone like, you know, I'm just saying, thrown out there, someone like a Joshua, or even like a Michael Hunter, someone like that, they'll eat him alive. He needs to just go about his business, pipe down, learn your craft, and keep doing what you're doing.
Obviously, we spoke about Katie Taylor. I want to talk about Dillian White. I mean, devastating. Devastating. I mean, devastating knockout, devastating punch, and just devastating for Dillian White.
It was, wasn't it? You know, but like Ellie said earlier, he started very slow. I don't know if it was Caldwell in his corner. Caldwell's very, you know, don't get me wrong, he's very calm. But sometimes having a calm cornerman has a calm presence on the boxer. And his slow jab throughout the fight, yes, he clipped him twice, flash knockdowns, you know, but then he would flash knockdown him in the fourth, and then, you know, into the fifth, he let him off. He let him off, Mark, and he did not see that punch coming. You know, he said earlier today that, you know, it's a slip up. I'll make a couple of simple adjustments. That won't happen again. Surely, you know that Povetkin's dangerous. You would have watched back all those videos where he slips and ducks, you know, and that punch, it was a disguise. You know, he looked like he was going for the body, and he just went, bang, a massive uppercut. Good night, Vienna.
Yeah, big upset. He was asleep, I must admit. So, yeah, cruel, cruel sport boxing can be, but that is heavyweight boxing, and Dillian White has got that rematch clause. You know, still a big question mark, and hopefully he comes back even stronger next time.
Yeah, he's calling it. He wants it in December. They're going to exercise that clause, but then who's now mandatory? You know, Povetkin, technically he's now mandatory, right? After the rematch, where does
after
that...
the rematch, if he wins, he will be.
Yeah, well, I hope WBC do that, Mark, because they've obviously, you know, they've honoured
it. Will it make Fury and Joshua easier to make? Possibly.
Exactly. There's going to be twists and turns in this for sure.
Only
100%.
Only time will tell. Well, guys, hopefully you've enjoyed this week's show. You'll get us on all the socials.
On the Ropes FM Twitter, On the Ropes FM 1 Insta, On the Ropes Facebook group. And do not forget, there's boxing this week. MTK again up in Wakefield. You've got Lee McGregor. Next Saturday night, you've got Daniel Dubois, Frank Warren Promotions on BT Sports. So there is some boxing coming up next weekend. Long may it continue. Listen, guys, thank you for listening. As always, you know, you're always in with a puncher's chance.
And have a knockout week. Right, guys, we're going to leave you with this one by Beyonce, Run the World. This is not only for the our two special guests this evening, but just for all those females out there that do want to try sport. Get up and go. And the very, very best of luck. Enjoy this one. We'll catch you next week.
Take care. Goodbye. We run the-